We visited on back on the other side of the building on 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. And it's something that's an important part. It's a hard thing. Some of the people I talk with that have gone through hard times with people, family members and things, they kind of choke at this. And I too had choked at or could choke at this, being reconciling. It's easy. Well, God has reconciled us back to Him, but He's already reconciled me. But for that to happen, to me, it was a lot easier for me to be reconciled back to God and me to receive that than sometimes when you're trying to reconcile back to especially family, because it's family. But yet sometimes those situations can be the ones that hurt the most, that dig the wedge in the furthest. And why is that? Sometimes it's because it goes back for decades, you know. And the thing is, when it goes back that far, it's hard to just up and say, forgive me, I'm sorry, let's move on. It's not easy. And like I tell them, it's like you're not going to do it on your own power. You're not going to do it on your own strength and ability. You're going to have to ask God to get a hold of you. And it's not, and you talk to some, and it's like, yeah, but they'll think, I don't want to be a doormat. I don't want to be, you know, this or that. And that's all the things that the world puts in us, because the world hears you when you usually go. The world will say, if you go and apologize, you're weak. It's like, no, you're not weak. Like I tell people, or I told this person, it's like, what you're doing is, what you're wanting to do is solidify your relationship with God. And sometimes those things hold us back. It doesn't hold us back from our salvation. We don't lose our salvation because we have aught with somebody. We have salvation because we just sang, Jesus' blood cleansed us of our sins and we have eternity for us. But what all the reconciliation and what God has asked us to do is to say, as I have reconciled you back to me, He's reconciled us and He's forgiven us of the sins. And He's just saying, you need to do that to those around you, family, friends, coworkers. We all said the whole thing already back Sunday school hour. And a lot of times if we can do that, it takes a load off of us. Because every once in a while, you've got to get to that point to where you've had enough of being held down. Your unforgiveness, your harboring these things, you are not willing to reconcile, will hold you right where it got you 25 years ago. And sometimes people will not leave that 25-year, 30-year situation. Oh yeah, they've continued to live in life and all that, but the last 30 years has been kind of miserable for them because this thing. And so we've got to ask God to help us. So, taking up where I was last week, speaking on the Trinity, the last section that I spoke of, the benefit of understanding the triune God by faith. By faith is what it takes, right? Not by knowledge, not by this, whatever, not because I've seen it. I have it by faith that Jesus died for my sin. But it's understanding the triune God. When man fell into sin, he lost the most intimate relationship that God had with him. What brought us back into a restored relationship with God was Jesus Christ, his Son. And our spirit then, being energized. How many here, when the Holy Spirit got a hold of you, you were energized? There was electricity in you. You know, not that, you know, you look at it nowadays, and as we get into the season and all, and you sit in certain chairs, and my wife and me, we like to shock each other, you know. It's like she hands off the remote to me when she's getting up, and it'll go, bzzz. Right, honey? Yeah. Yeah. You need to ground yourself before you touch me. And there's sometimes some good snaps. But that's like, you think of the Holy Spirit, you know, when the Spirit comes in, there's that shocking thing that it's like, oh, I feel something different that I've not ever felt before. And it just doesn't happen one time. It's an ongoing continuation of the Holy Spirit touching us and ministering to us and electrifying us. But that's because of the triune, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But our spirit was energized by the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, we find the word reconciliation that is used, and it tells us how our relationship was restored back to how it was before Satan, before the deception. We had a wonderful relationship. God had a wonderful relationship with his creation, right? Adam and Eve. He would walk with them in the garden every day and just have communion and talk, and it was a great time. What could you imagine that? And that's what we lost with the sin that came in. But you know, with the salvation through that of Jesus Christ, we are back to that point of where we can walk with him every day, almost like in the garden, to where we have that relationship with God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It makes me feel good. It gives me warm, fuzzy feelings. But that relationship was restored back because of Jesus. And what God is wanting us to do is to say, the same relationship and reconciliation that I've done for you, I want you to have with those around you as well, to be that example of me. We look at the definition of reconciliation. It's like katalasso. K-A-T-A-L-L-A-S-S-O-N. It's to change. It's to exchange. To change and to exchange. It's to reestablish, restore a relationship. It's to make things right, to remove enmity between us, the things between us, those fractions and things, those frustrations things. This word is used 5 times when we're referring to God reconciling us to himself through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, his Son. We can read that in Romans 5:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:18, which is where our verse is going to be, where we read from. Whether speaking of God and man or a husband and a wife, whether it's brothers and sisters, the ripple goes out, right? Reconciliation. Loving interpersonal relationships which have been broken or disrupted. It describes reestablishing of a proper, loving, interpersonal relationship which has been broken or disrupted. When Satan came in, he broke it, that relationship between God and man. There was a disruption that took place. In God's overall plan, reconciliation is very important. As we turn to 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21. Now all things are of God. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or reckoning their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are, here's a good word, what? Ambassadors for who? Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. A lot of powerful things in there. Being reconciled. We are becoming ambassadors. We had sin. Jesus knew no sin, became sin. We had our own righteousness, but it was like that of what kind of rags? Filthy, dirty, ugly rags. And our righteousness now is the righteousness of God. It's not ours. The things that we have received because of that of Christ Jesus has been magnificent in our overall life. What we once were, and that relationship was severed, to what we became, to what now we were brought back together, reconciled, reestablished, back into a right relationship with God, it's because God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you so that he could have you back. Hallelujah! Good! Could you imagine somebody that loved you so much would do that? And he's just saying, I did that for you, and what I want you to do now is you're my example to those around you. Reconcile also to the vertical, those around you. Or to bring that ministry of reconciliation is we're to bring the Word of God to those that we come into contact with so that they too can connect to God. Amen? And I say this over and over, and this is my whole what I am here as a pastor is I am not changing you. I don't want the job to change you. I don't look forward to changing you. I just look forward to sharing the Word of God to you and to say, you get connected to God like I got connected to God, and it's going to be between you and who? God, working with the Holy Spirit into you to draw you closer to him, to teach you things that you need to know, to make his word more clear to you, to keep you from falling to victims to lies that the devil wants to impart upon you. God is imparting truth. The Holy Spirit speaks of truth to us. The devil imparts lies and deceptions, and he's just bad. Yuck. He wants us to spread the good news to the lost world. We have a lost and dying world out there. We got to be available to go share. Through the verses that we read from Paul sharing, there's three powerful messages or themes that we can reclaim from those. In that of verses 18 and 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Not imputing their trespasses. He's not holding it against us. So, the one area here, sin creates that broken relationship. We already know that. It turned us from friends with God to becoming enemies with God. Sin. God cannot stand sin, right? But there's a solution that God developed, and he had it already planned out from the very beginning. That God, from the start, initiated a way that he was going to take care of us. Instead of holding man's sins against him, God provided a way for man to return back to him. Ha ha. The devil thought he won. It was going to return him back to him, free from sin that had entered into the world. And we know that's through Jesus Christ. We got to have Jesus. First step one, receive Jesus Christ. Ask for forgiveness. Claim him as your Lord and Savior. Thank him for what he's done for you. We find that the result of that, the separation, the divide that was between man and God was then and has been removed. He's made a way. In his word, it says, he makes a way where there seems to be no way. Some people say, I have been so bad all of my life, there is no way that he can ever forgive me. Oh, yes, there is. Jesus Christ died for you. The power of the blood. There's power! Power! Okay. Okay, you're almost there. Come on, let's start. Thank you for your participation. But there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. And that divide was removed. Man was able to, because of God's grace, unmerited favor, his grace and mercy, to once again have a personal relationship with God. It's amazing that we ourselves at times, a lot of us, really didn't think two hoots to the wind about a relationship with God when we're out in the world and just sinning and having fun. But when we were out there doing that, guess who? Whose mind you were on? God's. He goes, I want that person back. I want that person to know I love them so much that I have made a way through Jesus, my son. I became flesh, came into this world to take away that sin. grace to once again have a personal relationship with God. It was God's grace and mercy that we have that benefit of receiving. And again, grace, unmerited favor. You cannot earn His grace. You cannot earn anything from God, right? People say that, well, I'll get better and clean up myself and then I'll come to God. You can't do it. Never be able to do it. Secondly, in verse 20, we look at, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. How many times do we have to tell and share to people, like, come on, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He will change your world. Above all things, you'll know you'll be in heaven when your time comes to leave this earth. He loves you so much, He wants you to come back to Him. The Spirit returns where the Spirit had come from. So our mission, because God has restored you through that of Christ, He gives you, us, the church, we all are gospel ministers, but He's given us that ministry of reconciliation. We are to act as ambassadors to the kingdom. Isn't that a neat thing? An ambassador, official representative of the kingdom of heaven. You're a representative of something that's out of this world. And it's right through you. You hold it within you. You can have it, and you do have it. And He's saying, share it and let others know this. We think of the ambassador. Well, I'll get into this. We are official representatives of the kingdom of heaven. Through our words and lives, God Himself is making His appeal to the world to be reconciled to that of God. An ambassador, defined as this, a representative of a ruling authority. Ambassadors would be chosen from the ranks of mature, experienced men. And so become an ambassador for Christ. It's going to require us to begin developing on and on spiritual maturity. We got to grow up. We got to mature into things of God as we have taken on this role. And you can look at, in so much of the things, we can look at God's Word and kind of look into the life of what we have today. And you've heard stories and things of ambassadors for the United Nations. We have ambassadors throughout all these countries that they represent who? America. And when they're in that foreign country, that embassy is noted as, that's American soil. That's American property. That's why they can go to an embassy in a foreign land and they have immunity, because no matter what country they're in, that country and the laws of that country do not go past the doorway into that embassy. It's like, this is sovereign. So America has many embassies, sovereignties around the world, as other nations have in America. That's the ambassadors. And they're there to talk and work through governmental things, right? It's to have that connection there. And all that ambassador is going to do is what? He's going to do in the natural. He's only going to share, or he's only going to confer with that foreign country what his home country has said, or what the home leadership has said. This is what we want you to confer to that foreign entity, and we want you to bring this before them. And so the ambassador meets with the foreign country dignitaries and says, this is what our nation is speaking to you. This is what our president wants me to share with you. We are the ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And God has charged us to go out and to be that ambassador. And here's what I want to share with you. My president, God, wants me to say that He sent Jesus to die for you. You know, my God, Heavenly Father, oh my, the Creator of all. But He's asked us to be that ambassador. That's pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. But to become an ambassador too, we've got to continue to grow and develop and mature with God. You cannot continue to be a baby and send somebody over into a foreign country to go, okay, you figure it out over there and hope you don't make mistakes. We got to grow with the Word of God. We've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. We got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We got to hear from God. We got to listen to God. We got to respond to God. We got to be quiet before God for Him to share things with us so that you know what to share with that person that you may go visit. And also, as you think about that, as an ambassador in a foreign land, is that the legal system of that land has no bearing on you. Okay, so let's go deeper with God. As I'm a kingdom child of His, the world of Satan has no power on me. I'm in a different kingdom. I'm in a different world. My government, as Miles Monroe would say, my government is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. I serve God. And I share what He says. And what He says, I say. That's what an ambassador would in the natural do in a foreign country. They're only going to share what the country that has sent them there to share. Don't share anything else but what I'm telling you to share. God, as us and ambassadors in His kingdom, has sent us here, and we're here now as ambassadors in this land to be sharing what God has told us to share, the gospel. Ain't that awesome? Hey, we're privileged people. God takes care of us. Let's take a look at verse 21, the last one. For He who made Himself, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Paul summarizes the substitution. I'm going to just say that. Anyway, Paul summarizes that the substitution of the death of Jesus, God made Him who knew no sin for us, that had sinned, so that in Him we might become the righteousness. What this is telling us is at the cross, an ultimate swap occurred. There was. What a swap at Calvary. And that's why, as we look at that, we've always seen pictures of that, the cross over the divide, right? And man on one side, God on the other, but thank God for Jesus that we were able to cross over. And God could cross back, and now through that of Jesus. At the cross, an ultimate swap occurred. Jesus, who was entirely perfect. That's sometimes, we don't understand that. We can't wrap our heads around that sometimes. That He who was entirely perfect, but He took on all of our guilt, and He took the punishment that we should have received, all upon Himself. And in return, when we place our faith in Him, we are credited with His flawless righteousness before that of God. We become righteous in the sight of God because of His righteousness. What's in God and Jesus flows through us back to God. It's a continuation, I guess, of a completed circuit. It just, as we stay connected to that of God because of our relationship through that of Christ, through our fullness and filling of the Holy Spirit, there's a continuity that takes place in a person's life that is truly a follower of God's. That we're never too far away from Him, and He's never too far away from us. No matter what we get ourselves into, He is there to reach down and grab us out of. No matter what has happened, He is going to be there if we just call out to Him. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not get into the gutter and into the sewer that you might fall into in this world, but He will be on the outside of that, to when your hand comes up, He will get a hold of it and yank you out of that. And He'll put your feet on solid ground. Thank you, Lord. So that's about a little bit of reconciliations, okay? The things that we have to be reconciled back. It's an important part. There's so many things in God's Word that we think about that we need to dig a little bit more and be more careful of, I guess, and understanding of, like we talked a week or so back, sanctification, how that works on an ongoing process, reconciliations, things of that nature. But it's there to look at. It's there to, if you don't understand, to say, Lord God, what does this mean? What am I doing right? What am I not doing right? What is going to change? Well, I'm going to be the one that changes. And let that change begin in me, Lord. Okay? Because I need to do a whole lot more changing. How about you? Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful day. It's a special day. Why? Because you're the Creator, and every day your mercies are new. Thank you for being with us and guiding us and speaking to us. Thank you for everything that you continue and doing and what you have already done. I say I love you, Father. I love you. Thank you. I worship you, Father God. I pray you will touch the lives of each one here today. Help us in a way, Lord, to grow in a way closer to you. Many things in this life has a way of holding us, pulling us back. And Lord, let us recognize those things quickly by that of the Spirit, that we can quickly lay it down, turn away from it, whatever it might take. But never let us lose the focus that we have on you. I love you again and again and again, Lord. Bless each one, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.